what we're talking about is that when you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the initial evidence of tongues, that a lot of people think that's a goal. Hey, I got tongues and that's it. No, that's a gateway. The Holy Spirit is a gateway. It's not a one-time experience. Actually, flowing in the Spirit should be an everyday occurrence. Amen? And not just an infilling, but an overflowing. And Pastor Jerry, if we can do the list on Pastor Jerry's, is doing the manifestation gifts. Now, it's really important that you understand these are manifestation gifts, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, the manifestation gift of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, which he's going to talk about, he said, next Wednesday night, tongues and interpretation of tongues. I remember Randy Barham, who was my high school band teacher, and he went to a such and such church in Bailey, and I was trying to talk to him about getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and he said in his office, he said, tongues is on the bottom of the list. And then later on, sometime later, he got filled with the Holy Ghost and became a member of Farmington Heights Church of God, I believe, to this day. And these tongues absolutely are not on, this is not a numerical list. This is just a list of the gifts. It's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We number them, but they are equally important in their own way. And the tongues of this passage is not the same tongues as the initial evidence. Now, we've already covered that. So my part is not, these are manifestation. These are manifestation. My part are the ministry gifts. Now, the list for that is prophecy. And I told you last week that that really meant preaching, the call to preach. And we talked about that last week, preaching. And this prophecy gift is also can be prophecy the same as the other. But I believe when you look at the context of Romans chapter 12, and we're talking about resident gifts, that this prophecy refers to the resident gift, the lifelong calling to pulpit ministry. So I talked to you about that last week. Not everybody's called to that. And these gifts here, find your place in some of these gifts here on these body ministry. The next one is serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling or leading, and mercy. Now, we've got two lists. Somebody say two lists. So you can keep it in your mind. One is manifestation. Say manifestation. The other one is ministry. One is in the moment. The other one deals with the life. One is a surprise. One of those manifestation gifts is unplanned, not on the order of service, maybe so. It's a surprise. One, however, the gifts I'm talking about is not surprise. It deals with study and preparation. One is the Holy Spirit working in you. The other is the Holy Spirit working through you. One is a special gift for the moment. The ministry gifts I'm doing are the practical gifts for everyday life. Think of it as Pastor Jerry's list is the 911. Dial the call, dial the number, get immediate help. Think of that as the ER, the Mayday. Not in the negative sense, also in the positive sense. But think of the gifts that I'm talking to you about, not as the 911 or the ER. Think of those as the rehab or the ongoing care of the process. One, in fact, that's the next thing. One, the manifestation gifts are an event. The ministry gifts are a process. And so they're not contradictory. They are complementary. And so my set of gifts, I've kind of put a subtitle called Making a Difference. Going through the gateway into the gifts of the Spirit, into the body ministry gifts, into the manifestation gifts, will make a difference. Can you say amen? And so tonight, the body ministry gift, last week was the gift of preaching. Tonight is the gift, the calling, the gifting of serving. Would you stand with me and let's go to Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. Have we made all that clear to you tonight? You know where we're headed. You know what we're doing here. You know the tracks that we're on. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. If you're there, say amen. See if your neighbor's got it. I just want to make sure everybody's reading the same thing. And you see it behind me? All right. Some people like to pull it in their Bibles, and that's very well. Romans 12 and verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all, now notice this, all members have not the same office. So everything below that word office, he's talking about permanent body ministry gifts, not the manifestation gifts. So we being many are one in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Look at verse 6. Having different gifts according to the grace that is given us. So that means these gifts, not everybody has. Pastor's gifts, anybody can flow in those by faith and through the Holy Spirit. They're not resident. They are manifestation for the moment. These gifts are different gifts. You have one, I have one, and different people have different ones. Now, it begins to list them, whether prophecy or preaching. Let us preach according to the propitiation of our faith. I can't say it. All right. And then, of course, we told you that in this word for prophecy, it's not talking about so much the prophecy in the sense of a revelation. It's talking a revelation of the moment, but it's talking about expounding the revelation already given. Okay, I explained that last week. I don't have to re-preach that. You can listen to the CD. Now, verse 7, our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Verse 8, are we there? If I can get a thumbs up, all right. Or on exhorting, on exhortation. On he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So all of these we're going to talk about. Father, thank you tonight for the gifts of the Spirit. You've got a mighty work because you're a mighty God. And you're raising up a mighty church here at Westmoreland. And we thank you, Lord, for the sensitivity to flow in the manifestation gifts and the receptivity to embrace our body ministry gifts. Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth, and we'll give you the praise. May I decrease, may you increase, and may the word of the Lord have free course tonight. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Turn around till somebody in your right place. You're in the right place tonight. The timing of preaching amazes me sometimes. Because as I'm preaching tonight on the gift, making a difference through the gift of serving, I couldn't imagine to plan it this way on September the 11th. Because of all days, we are amazed at those who have a calling to serve. We can only imagine what those first responders faced on that fateful, bright blue, sunny September morning 18 years ago. And I do believe those who are first responders, 90% of them, whether they're saved or not, I believe that they have this calling to serve. Who else would want to run into a burning building if you're not called? Well, I just want to do it. No, that's a calling to do it. Nobody in his right mind is going to run up a burning building. Nobody in their right mind is going to. Who wants to go to the scene of car accidents and to see all of that unless they have that calling? So today is a day to think about this gift. Now, in the King James Version, of which we read in our on our overhead, it's translated ministry. And because ministry to us today means so much. It's like a kaleidoscope. There's so many nuances to it. Really, the better translation is serving or servant. In fact, the Greek word that we see in this is the Greek word diakonia, diakonia, serving the fellowship, a servant of the fellowship, dio, meaning ongoing. This word is often used of a servant or of a person who serves and ministers to other in, listen, practical ways. Somebody say amen. Now, if your porch is falling down and you're tripping when you go home and you're not able to walk up the steps and you're not able to fix that, and as much as I can prophesy, speak in tongues, run the aisle, that's not going to help you until I pull out some hammer and some nails and some chainsaw. And by the way, if I do it, it ain't going to help you either there. So I just want you to know, Brother Rudolph Taylor, that time we were working on the parsonage down here, and four of us men from Living Waters was looking up, and I was climbing up the ladder, and they were talking, and they decided, come on back down, preacher. So they took it from there very wisely. So, but we're talking about serving, ministering, aiding, helping, assisting others in such a way that they are built up. By the way, diakonia. Diakonia kind of sounds like a word we use, deacon. All right, that's where we get the word deacon from. Okay, I want you to put that in the back of your mind, because I'm gonna expound on that word deacon for just a moment. It is the most practical of gifts. Most of us know a few people who are always willing and who are unusually gifted to help others when help is needed. All of us can help, and all of us can develop our willingness and ability to help, but there are some believers who are unusually gifted with the very special gift of ministry or serving. And you can make a difference when you are called to serve. And I want to give you three things tonight when we're talking about making a difference through the calling, the body ministry calling of serving. Can you say amen tonight? Number one, the emphasis of the calling. Number one, the emphasis. Now, let me go ahead and talk about the general call to serve. Now there is, for all of us, we should serve in some capacity. I'm talking about the specific call to serve, but there is the general call to serve. We don't have to have an ordination certificate. We don't have to have a resolution of the General Assembly of the Firstborn of the Chosen Frozen. We've got a calling to serve. Papers on the floor. We don't have to have a committee to figure out who's going to pick it up in the name of the Lord. There's a little story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. There is the general call to serve. And go to some scriptures. We're all to have a servant spirit. You have to be careful. Sometimes preachers can get so powerful and so influential that they have a bunch of people around them serving and waiting upon them and getting their shoes and doing this. I think you can abuse that gift if you're not careful. We as preachers of all people are to display a servant spirit. Can I get an amen out here? Matthew chapter 10 and 42 says, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say to you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So just serving, just giving food, drink, those, and we should all do that. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, as we have the opportunity, let us do good. There's opportunities that arise on our job, in our church, in our homes to serve. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7 gives us the greatest example. It says, let this mind be in you. In other words, think like this, act like this, do like this, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be. He was equal with God. Equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and made himself in likeness of man. Matthew 23 and 11 says, then the greatest among you shall be your servant. Now, that is the general idea of serving, that everybody should have a servant heart and be willing to help and be willing to do things as they arise. Can you say amen? But we're talking about the calling. This is a calling. This, go back to Romans 12 and verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. And go to the next scripture, verse 7. Or serving, let us serve while we're serving. There are some people that are gifted with a unique and divine calling to serve others. I'm going to say that again. There are some people that is their divine calling. Just like I am called to pulpit preaching, I may be a sorry preacher, but I've never preached a sorry message. Because I preached Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Adrian Rogers, for giving me that. So, but there's some of you, you are uniquely, divinely called to not preachers. By the way, preachers can serve. Not teachers, although teachers can serve. Not prophesying, not speaking in tongues, not serving in the general sense of just helping out. This is a specific, resident, heartfelt, God-called, divine calling, making a difference through the gift of serving. And we thank God for those who've responded to and accepted the call, the body ministry call to serve. Can we applaud Jesus on that? Thank you, Lord, for calling people to ministry, to serve. Can you say amen? Now, the best way to explain this better is not only the emphasis of the calling, but the examples. Let me give you examples on those who were and are called to serve. That way you can get it a little bit more straight in your mind about what this is all about. I'm going to give you, first of all, biblical examples. Go to Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. There it is. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. We are seeing the call to serve. And in those days, are we there? And in those days when the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. By the way, this is after Pentecost. This is after speaking in tongues like a fire. This is after 3,000 getting saved. Glory, 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 hallelujah, run to aisle, shout, praise God, lay hands, devils cast out, and go. There is a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. Two classes of people. Because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. Verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we, talking about the pastor, pastoral leadership, that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among men. Now, are they above serving tables? No, they would do anything for Jesus. They're not talking about the fulfillment of serving. They're talking about the constraints of a greater need, which was spiritual food. And so, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, and who may we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, Philip, whatever his name is, Prochorus, Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom when they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, they laid their hands upon them. And what was the result? And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. These were men divinely selected, anointed. Now, you may say the people chose them. Brother, God chose them. God just moved upon the hearts of the people to select God-called servants to lead those people in the everyday practical issues of life. Those widows were now taken care of. The sick were being tended to. Things were being done and lives were being changed. And because they answered the call to serve, they didn't stand in a, some of them did, but not all of them, didn't stand in a pulpit. They didn't teach a lesson, but they lived a lesson and they made a tremendous difference in that Acts. And we want to go back to Acts, right? Well, then we need to answer the call to serve when God's calling us to serve. Amen. Now, that's the occasion of the deacons. Now, go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, because these God-called servants of the church, they were entrusted not only with the hands-on ministry of the church, but you can have the call to serve, but there's also the office, there's the occasion of the deacon, in other words, doing the work of the church, deacon, doing the work of the ministry, of serving. But then there's the office of the deacon, where you have, with the pastor and the elders and the leaders, you have input and spiritual guidance to the church that goes beyond hands-on. It doesn't exclude it, but it goes beyond it, and now you into the office. Somebody say office. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, likewise must the deacons. So notice that plural word there. The deacons must be XYZ. So from those who are called to serve, from that group, there are some people that are going to be elevated to higher office in the church to help make decisions, to help with the pastor carry out the vision. And if you're going to go from just serving and doing the everyday functional things, there's certain requirements. It says you must not be double-tongued. That refers to how you talk. I had a lady in one of the churches I pastored. She was a great servant. She cleaned the church to a T. But while I was gone one day, we had a young intern from Holmes Bible College. And when I got back to the office, he said, Pastor Ricky, Sister So-and-so started complaining to me in the church about another lady in the church. And so she was serving and cleaning, but she was double-tongued. All right. So you, if you're going to be in higher leadership of the church, you got to learn to zip it. And you better not talk about people, because God is not pleased with that. Amen. Not given to much wine. And we can translate that any wine. Not greedy of filthy lucre. In other words, you're not out there playing the lotto and standing in line at Speedway, because you're an example of the church. Now, I didn't say playing the lotto was a sin. I'm just telling you, as a deacon, you're not in filthy lucre or gambling or games, or you're not down at Vegas playing the slot machines. You're not hustling cards on the side. Yeah, you may cut the grass at the church, but if you're doing that, that doesn't bring spiritual leadership. I'm starting to feel like I'm discerning the spirits tonight, that I might need to move on here. All right. Holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. You can't be home watching bad things on the internet, and let those be proved. Okay, if you're going to go to the spiritual leadership of serving, then you've got to have some track record, all right? You were faithful in the little things to make your rule over many. Let them use the office. So you can be a deacon and not be in the office of the deacon. Does everybody see that? Amen? And you can be called to be a deacon and yet not be in the office of a deacon. And the office is a separate thing. See, I'm called to be a preacher. Right now, I'm not in the office of the pastor. I'm the associate pastor, worship pastor, connections pastor. Every church has one pastor, lead pastor. Right now, am I a pastor? Yeah. Am I a preacher? Absolutely. But we have a lead pastor at Westmoreland. And so you may be called to be a servant or a deacon, but it doesn't mean you're in the office of that. Can I get a witness out there? Even so, their wives. So it's a ministry team. Their wives must be grave, not slanderous, sober, and faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children. By the way, ruling their children well. I'm going to move on. All right, 13. For they that have used the office of a deacon. Well, if you go to a restaurant and you're a deacon and your wife and your kids are throwing biscuits at the waiters. I had a missionary one time that preached for me right here in this pulpit several years ago, and he was going to the Arab world, and he was going to get Muslims for Jesus, and he had two little boys. And I mean, they came into church that morning. It was all quiet on the Western Front until those two kids hit the front door. We went out to eat, and Ray Meeks and Judy Meeks was with me. He may even remember this. And one of those kids got to screaming and yelling, and I understand kids do that. But here's what really struck me was the husband said, we need to do something about that. And here's what his wife said. No, I'm just going to let him scream. That kind of, you're trying to get Muslims and you can't handle that terrorist right there. Go to Philippians 1:1, quick. First time I noticed this today. I love studying. I love learning new things. Paul and Timothy, the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the who? And who? I'm telling you that to be a deacon, to be a servant, to be called to that ministry, you're right up there in high order with what God wants to do. And you might think, well, I'm not a preacher. Right here, you're right on level with the bishops, the preachers, and spiritual leadership. And we need some men and we need some women in the church who will answer that call to serve. And how sad it is when different times, when we need some leaders, we need some board members, we need some men men and women to step up to spiritual responsibility and come with the pastor and the pastoral staff. And sometimes there's just no one willing to do that. But my friend, you've got to answer the general call. But I'll tell you, there's many people right in this church, you have a divine call, and that is to be a deacon, to be a servant of the Lord. You may not be in the office of it tonight, but God may be preparing you for what He's prepared for you. And I'll tell you, the Word of God will multiply, and the Word of God will go forth. Can you say amen? Turn around and tell somebody, He might be talking about you. I know one of the deacons in this church, and I don't mean the office deacons. I mean one of the deacons, generally speaking, one of the deacons in this church who's called to it. And because they're serving, my sermon tonight is going all over the world. And we get people, 42 views, and we get people from down east and that send messages saying, I listened to the message tonight. Who is the deacon I'm referring to? Brother Joe Baker is a deacon. Now, he may not call himself a deacon. Now, in our minds, we think of deacon as those five men on the church who run the preacher and run everybody off. And it's so sad. In fact, when Wake Forest University, which was a Baptist university, when they decided, what mascot can we use? Now, Duke, the Methodist, they used the devil. The Tar Heels said, we're going to be Rams. And North Carolina State said, we're going to be Wolfpack. Well, the Baptist decided, we're going to have demon deacons. Nothing more. Now, we laugh at it, but I'll tell you what. There are some people that their ministry has gone from their heart to their head. And they connive in back rooms, and they have a meeting before the meeting, and they pull the strings and put on intimidation. That's not what I'm talking about. But Joe Baker is a deacon in every sense of the word, and because of his ministry, the Word of God is going all over the America and the world. And that's what happens. I want everybody to stand and turn around. Brother Baker, can you just throw your hand up? Give him a standing ovation tonight. Brother Baker is back there. Praise God. Praise God. When you see him tonight, slap him on the back and tell him what a good job he's doing. And just remember, he can put you on TV whether you're ready or not. That's biblical examples. There's a ton of other biblical examples, and I'm going to give you some more. But let me give you historical examples of those who were called to serve, who had the call to serve. I think about Florence Nightingale. Just raise your hand. Anybody know who Florence Nightingale was? Okay. She started what we now know as modern nursing. Modern nursing. And she carried around a lamp in the night with wounded soldiers in the war. And she opened a nursing school. And if you were to really study her life, you would really see that she had a calling to serve. And she never preached a sermon to my knowledge. She never held a theological study, but she ministered and is making a difference even today. I thought about William Booth. Now, William Booth did preach, but if we got down to it, he wasn't known for his preaching. He was known for his serving. By the way, do you know who William Booth is? Raise your hand if you do. The Salvation Army? He started that. Where did he start it? In London. What was it? It was young boy back then. See, we're so blessed today. It doesn't even cross our minds that there was a time when children, if they didn't have a mom and dad, nobody took them in. They wandered the streets. They got in all kinds of trouble. They got sick. Some of them died. And London was rife with such pollution. And William Booth was called to serve, and he formed the Salvation Army. Mother Teresa. Calcutta, India. Dan Woods just told me something, and I may get this story wrong, but Dan Woods, who's the head of our school of ministry, when I went on our 25th anniversary, I went to hear him preach the first Sunday I was gone, and we had lunch together, and I was telling him some of the places I wanted to see history, and he said that Mother Teresa came to Danville, Virginia to see the Pope or someone, and she wanted to do some certain work God had laid on her heart, and he told her no. And because of that, she was crushed, and evidently she decided to go far away to Calcutta, India. You see, God even moves when we're disappointed. Can you say amen? And somebody, the story goes, and I haven't verified this, but it sounds good, so I'm going to preach it. But somebody said a man came to Mother Teresa and looked at all of the, not AIDS victims, but the, lepers, and she would love on them and hug them and touch them, and they were so dirty and filthy. And an American businessman said, Mother Teresa, I admire what you do, but for $1 million, I would never do that. And she said, I wouldn't do it for $1 million either. That, my friend, is the call to serve. You know you're called to serve when you just do it out of your heart. Amen? And that's historical examples and biblical examples. I thought about this. I said, Lord, show me some current examples of people who are not so much preachers, but they're called to serve. And one name came to my mind, a current example. Maybe he's getting on up in age, and some of you may not be as familiar, but his name is James Dobson. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of James Dobson. What was his program? Focus on the family. I didn't realize this, but his great-great-grandfather was a preacher. His great-grandfather was a preacher in the Wesleyan Church. And the his great-great-grandfather's great-grandfather, his grandfather, his father, and his brothers all became preachers. He was the only one that said, I don't feel the calling to preach. He went to University of California, got a psychology degree. He was a licensed psychologist. And God put it in his heart that families needed to be encouraged, and even in all the great preaching and pulpits, he's like, we're missing something with our families. And he began a ministry called Focus on the Family, Dare to Discipline. Don't you realize that 90% of our problems in the whole world is because of the breakdown of the home? Because there's not a dad and a mom who is keeping things in divine order. Trace a lot of problems back that kids run up and down. They don't have parents that care for them, or our dad's out here and he's not connected and watching and focus on the family. That, my friend, James Dobson was not a preacher, but he was called to serve, and he's made a big difference. Can you say amen? He's still going at it. He's about 90 years old. He retired from Focus on the Family. And I forget who took the place there. And about 3 weeks later, he started his own podcast called Family Talk. You just couldn't stop him. Amen. Amen. I thought about the Kendrick brothers. Do you know who I'm talking about? Have you ever seen the movie Facing the Giants? Raise your hand if you have. You ever saw the movie Courageous? Yes. What about the movie War Room? How many of you have seen that? Flywheel. That's the first one they did. That's right. That was perfect timing, Brother Philip. I'm getting ready to talk about you. Do you think that the Kendrick brothers, I don't even remember their first names. Who knows their name? Alex Kendrick and Stephen Kendrick, they attended or are still attending to one of the Baptist churches down in Georgia. Sure. Thank you, Sister Nelms. All right. If it's a movie that makes you cry, my wife knows it. Somebody said, have I gone to see, there's a movie called Overcomer. They didn't do that one. I said, I'm not going to watch that movie because I know I'm going to cry. Oh, Breakthrough. Come on up here. I need your help tonight. No, I'm just kidding. But thank you for answering that. The point I'm trying to make is the Kendrick brothers, I believe, had a calling to serve. Because haven't those movies made a difference in people's lives? So you don't have to be a called preacher to make a difference. So I've given you biblical examples. I've given you historical examples. I've given you current examples. Let me give you some personal examples of people that I know. Now, I know there are some people over the years who I know who they were called to serve. There was a man just Saturday, I believe it was Saturday, I was at Best Buy, and he was needing help, and we got into conversation, and come to find out, he attends the First Pentecostal Holiness Church, which is in Goldsboro. Got to talking, and he began to tell me that he has helped Pastor Whitfield and Pastor Rose do all, I do all the hands-on stuff at the church. He said, I've done it for years. He said, I'm not doing it right now, but I've done pews. I've done all kinds of hands-on stuff. And I said, were you on staff? He said, no. He said, I told Brother Pastor Whitfield, do not pay me. He said, and so they tried to pay me, so I stopped. He said, but I still do it. And you know what I ran into? I ran into a man who had to call him to serve. And I thought about all the judgment house I went to down there. I thought about all the times that I went to that church and those facilities were top notch. It was a man by the name, his last name was Payne, P-Y-N-E. And you don't know these people's names. These are unsung heroes. That's a good title of a good sermon. Unsung heroes, people that have the calling to serve, but you don't have to pay them. They'll pay you to serve. Amen. Now, should we pay them? Absolutely. The laborer is worthy of his hire. Don't think we're looking for cheap and free labor. I believe in paying people for what they do. But these people will do it. And you know, a fireman and a policeman, they don't get paid near what they deserve. Amen? That's a personal example. I thought about Beth Piner. You don't know her. But she was one of the members of Smyrna Pentecostal Holiness. And we started doing a connections lunch. And that woman, she had a passion for cooking. She could be on the Food Network. She, and not only cooking, but if we had the bishop to come, or if we had an evangelist like Terry Trammell to come, brother, she was on full ready to roll. She didn't want just you to eat at some restaurant somewhere. She had the best seafood in the entire world. And not only seafood, she could do all kinds of food. And when we say, I'd say, Sister Beth, we got a connection lunch. Don't you worry about it, preacher. I'll get this crowd ready and we'll have some of the best food that. And man, when our visitors came and they came for connection lunch, man, I thought it was my preaching that they stayed. I think it was her cooking, to be honest with you. Wow. And I tell you, Sister Beth Piner, if you get down to it, she treated it like she was called to do that. Amen. I thought about Frances Johnson. Frances Johnson, my treasurer, when I was here at Living Waters, she had a calling. That was her calling to serve. She served in the book. She was meticulous. And every now and then, I'll see Sister Frances. I saw her Amy Jo's the other Sunday, and I always walk up to Sister Frances, and I ask her, do you have a check for me? Glory to God. Because she wrote my paycheck. She wrote my paycheck for 8 years. And so I'm like, you got any more? I mean, just different ones that I've pastored over the years that had a gift of serving. And I don't want to leave anybody out, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of people I can mention. But I thought about right here in our own church. I've already mentioned Joe Baker. Amen. I believe he has a calling to serve. Now, many of you in this church, you are servants. I can think of call out so many different ones that you serve. But the two or three that I'm going to mention, I believe, have the calling to serve. One of them, I believe, is Brother Blue Selfish. I believe this man has a calling on his life to serve. Why do I believe that? Because he'll do anything. He'll do anything that needs to be done. He told me the other day, he said, when I see something that needs to be done and there's nobody doing it, I'm going to step in and try to do it until somebody gets there. Do you know what that is? That is the signs of a calling to serve. Give him a big hand back there. He's doing a great job. Amen. You've got to believe that Brother Philip and Sister Edna have a calling to serve. You got to believe it. Amen. They are at their forte when they are serving. Now, am I making more of Brother Philip and Brother Blue and Brother Baker than some of you out here? I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to tell you about the calling. That is a divine call. Have you ever thought about that? You were actually called to the ministry gift of serving? Have you ever thought about that? Sometimes we don't think of it as a calling, but you know it's more than just a general. More than just a general. We all serve. We all help. But these are people right here in our church. And I could probably name some more, but I'll just leave it at that right there. But thank God for the examples of those who are making a difference through the gift of serving. Can you say amen? And then finally, not only the examples, not only the emphasis, but look at the embracing of that calling. How do I fulfill that calling? I told you, starting out with fire and policemen, 99% of them are going to have that calling to serve. Now, I'm just talking to some of you. You're like, I think I might be called to that ministry. How do I fulfill that ministry? How do you fulfill the ministry of these gentlemen here? Well, these men are seasoned, but I would just say start where you are. Pastor, use what you have. Make something of it and never give up. Amen? All right. And never quit. Look for ways to lighten the load. You say, am I called to serve? Well, I don't know. Well, are you? Do you feel something? I do. Well, just lighten the load. Just be a servant. Just begin where you are. Look for better. And here's something else. Those of you that are called to serve, look for ways to improve your ministry. Learn the latest technology. Brother Blue right now is learning new technology. He's in that sound booth again, and Hope and others, KK and others have learned. Learn the latest. Take a class. Do you know what? Even though you may be called to be a fireman, do you know you have to take a class every few weeks? Why not us in the church? We need to learn. We need to go to these leadership rallies. We need to go to learn from find people who are doing it. If you feel a calling to serve and we need a good usher, find some church that's got some good ushers going. Embrace that calling. Listen, if I didn't study and if I didn't listen to other great preachers and if I didn't open my mind, you would get the same exact thing every time I stood up, which is fine if you're just preaching Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I believe that's enough. And that's all my messages point to is Jesus. But it sure does help to add a little decoration on the Christmas tree. Amen. It sure helps to open our mind. Listen, do it with excellence. Somebody say amen. Genesis chapter 24, verse 19 said, and when she had done giving him drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels also. Those of you that have the gift to serve, go the extra mile sometimes. Do more than just expected. Rachel here said, I'm going to give you something to drink, but I'm going to also give your camel something to drink. Now, giving him something to drink was all that was required. But the camels was a hard job. And if you've got a calling to serve, you may have to do some things in Royal Rangers and girls' ministries that go beyond us. Find your focus. You say, I don't know what my specific calling to serve is. Well, do like a funnel. You know how a funnel's big on one end and small on the other? Start out generally. Just do general stuff. And as you begin to serve more and more, God will begin to say, hey, you're to be a nurse. Hey, you're to be a fireman. Hey, you're to be, God said, I want you to be a sound booth. I want you to webcast. Your specific area of the calling to serve is to do this or to do that. Somebody say amen tonight. And then Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And here's one thing about those who are called to serve. Sometimes you got to remember to stay focused on the spiritual, because we have seen people that were so into serving and fixing and repairing and giving and serving that somewhere in there they got away from their heart. And like I said a while ago, certain deacons, it went from their heart to their head. Now look at Luke chapter 10, verse 38, verse 42. Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was what? Cumbered about with much what? Now she had the calling to serve. And she came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her that she help me. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're careful and anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Those of you who are called to serve, keep a sweet Christ-like spirit. I remember one time we were at the Judgment House down at Goldsboro, and things weren't quite going right. I could tell because I see things. And one of the ladies, she got up, stood up, and told everybody, and there was probably 50 people sitting out there, every one of you just need to be quiet. We're trying to do this. And the silence hit that place. Was she serving the Lord? Yes. Was she making a difference? Yes. But she like Martha. She got a little for it gone from her head, from her heart to her head. And so when we're trying to do good things, sometimes people can distract us and things don't go as planned. And so keep that humble spirit. And if you're the best this or the best that, stay humble. Amen. I remember there was a man one time, he had a calling to serve, and this was not my church, it was a friend of mine's church. It was T.L. Bird's church, my mentor. And he had a man that cut the grass, praise God. And by the way, that's another name, Elwood Carter. He was a called man to gifts. And Shelby Sykes at my church in West Road. But this man, before I got there, he would keep that grass cut. He would take care of the, but one day it got to his head and somebody came and did a little something and he jumped all over him. And the pastor said, wait a minute, that was not necessary. Well, I'm head of maintenance and I take care of the outside. And if anything happens on the outside, I gotta know. Okay, anytime you have that kind of spirit about you, it's going from your heart to your head. Just the tone of voice. Sometimes we who are called to serve, we gotta watch our voice tone, you know, we're praying God to send kids and then when they run up the wall and we scream at them, we kind of become counterproductive. Oh, all you ministry and kids, you just don't love me right now. You say, you don't know what I had to deal with. Amen. But listen. If you're called to serve, stay in the presence of God. Don't be like Martha. Nothing wrong with her serving. What was wrong was her waiting upon the Lord and having that sweet spirit. God give us sweet spirited servants. Amen. As I close tonight, I take you back to 9/11. The day that we commemorate those who are called to serve. When they ran into those burning buildings. Those firemen, and many of them knowing that they may not ever come out. And one of those planes was a man by the name of Todd Beamer. Three planes had already struck, two in New York, one in the Pentagon. And a third one was hijacked. He got on the phone with the operator, and the operator heard him as he was gathering and said, we're going to do something about this. And the last thing the operator heard Todd Beamer say, so would you stand with me tonight? Because I want you to capture the spirit of this. The last thing that they heard Todd Beamer say, two great words. Say it together, church. Say it together, church. Pastor, come on, shout it out. I'm telling you, whether you serve generally or whether you're called to serve, the buildings are burning, sin is raging, Satan is coming at us, but if we'll have a church and we'll just let's roll, somebody say amen tonight. Let's roll for the glory of God. Let's roll for the kingdom of God. Let's roll up our sleeves and get to work for the master. And let's be happy doing it because he's worthy. Let's roll. Give him a hand of praise tonight.
You know, I was just thinking of all the people that have served. I'm looking at Brother Bud Tedder and his wife, Sister Jones, Sister Rose Rowe, Brother Ray Meeks that was a deacon for many years, and Sister Ann and Rudolph Taylor, and so many of you that have served, and Sister Barbara in so many capacities. Some of you are still serving. But let's give them a big hand for their prior service. They're in some of their latter years, but they're still in the church, still doing something, still praying, still serving the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart.
Yes.
I think this little song right here, I'm going to ask Brother Ray to help me. We've never really sung it, but I was thinking about this song, Let Me Touch Him. No matter what your capacity, if you can touch him. We're yes. talking about body ministry gifts, the ministry gifts of serving and helping in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where he's placed these gifts to build his kingdom. Oh, to be his hand extended, reaching out to thee. Oppressed, let me touch him, let me touch Jesus, so that others may know and be blessed. Let me touch him, let me touch Jesus. Let me touch him as he passes by. Then when others reach out to touch him, they shall know him, they shall live and not